Thank you for joining us. Here at VLC, our purpose is helping people discover and develop a life in Christ. Now here is Pastor Gary Toney.
Thank you, Lord. Father, this morning, wow. I believe today, Father, our hearts cry as we're singing, create in each one of us desire and passion. Father, stretch our vision as vessels, thank you, as carriers of your glory. Lord, this week, as we take steps of faith, the new wine, Holy Spirit, we know that that is a type of you. And so we are asking for your flow, for your manifestation this week in everyday life, not in a great song, not with lights, not in gatherings, but in everyday life, Holy Spirit. Show up in our families, show up in our jobs, at our schools, on our vacations. Show up in such a way, Lord, that there is no question that you are creating in us something new. Not new to you, but maybe new for some of us. Thank you, Lord. For some of you, it's not something new, it's something you let go of. Today is that day that you pick that up. You stir that gift up inside you. There's somebody on watching us right now. That word is for you this morning. You found yourself in this place of just almost with a reservation to take a step. And I'm telling you, the Spirit of the Lord is dealing with your heart right now. Don't be scared. God loves you. He wants nothing more than for you to succeed. And so for all of us in the room, let's open our hearts today. For all of you watching, wherever you're at, let us know where you're at. Open up your heart. Holy Spirit, stretch our faith today. Give us boldness today in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Worship team, thank you. Yeah. Now, I trust that you have been doing your homework, that you are in Ephesians. We've been in it for a number of weeks. We'll continue in Ephesians for probably the next two Sundays. And you remember last week we ran out of time. We were going to get into the life of Gideon and take a little look at his example. But before we do, let's go back and look at our key text in this series, which we have taken out of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It says this: be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union, your relationship with Him. Draw your strength from Him. Now, here's the thing. We have a tendency in our society today in America to be consumed with what's going on around us, don't we? I mean, with the advances of technology, I mean, how many of you are YouTube junkies? I know the older generation says, no way. Well, you need to watch your kids. Huh? There are, all you old school, maybe you're not YouTubing it, but you watching all the news shows. Well, I need to know what's going on. You can find that out in 10 seconds. You understand, they have to have ratings. Stop watching that junk. You hear me? Stop it. You cannot get anything but confused by watching news. It's not news anymore. It's just another talk show. Anyway, be empowered. Say empowered. What's the name of our series? Empowered. I think God is looking for, I think that He's actually expecting some of us to rise to the occasion, to be empowered through our union with Him. That means that you have to have some type of working relationship with Him. Let me give you an example of this. You see, it's not just relationship. For example, my dad left when we were real little, so we really didn't have a relationship, my brother and sister and I, with my father. So mom, you know, of course, you know, you all know me, I'm mama's boy, so she did all of it. But because, you know, he was my father, there is a relationship there. But there was no fellowship of any kind. There was no union of any kind. See, this is the thing. You can get born again, and I can tell you as a pastor, I have witnessed this over the years. Millions of Christians get enough of a revelation of Jesus to make it to heaven, but that's all they want. You want to do your own thing, your own way, and you don't want any interference from anyone, especially from a pastor or from the Lord or the Holy Spirit on your job. How are we doing? Starting out good this morning, aren't we? Exciting. So glad I came. Be empowered through your union with Him. See, the thing about a relationship, and more specifically, the thing about this whole book of Ephesians that we're kind of looking at, and next Sunday, I'm really going to get into it and break it down chapter by chapter for you to kind of give you a little summary of some of the expectations and revelation that lies in the book of Ephesians. But at the end of the day, guys, until you and I make room in our thinking for the realities in the book of Ephesians, in the Bible, it'll never help you. And I promise you this, a life empowered by God, it will take you beyond your own ability. See, if you can do it, you don't need God's help. And I think there are people listening to me, some of our online family, some of you all watching, I think there are people listening and watching that God wants to do some incredible things in your life. Amen. And it's not based on career and who you know, it's through Him empowering you. So often we think, well, you know, I'm not a preacher. Guys, you know the people we follow in the Bible. As a matter of fact, 99% of the people in the Old Testament that we see as examples, they're not preachers. I mean, they're workers, farmers, businessmen, entrepreneurs, politicians. If you've been following us through the book of Daniel on Wednesday nights, Daniel, his whole career path was in the political arena. And I mean, God dropped him in the middle of one of the most ungodly situations on the planet and brought him to the top. Can I give you just a little nugget? He brought him to the top not complaining about his current situation. One of the big things that Daniel did, the Bible says that Daniel was of an excellent spirit. See, when you complain, oh, you've heard me say that before, you remain. Stop complaining about stuff going on. Pray for your leaders. Not even a head nod on that. Just. And you wonder why the world looks at us the way they do. We have to be people of faith, people of love, you all. No? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, "Now to Him who's able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine." One of the things I want to encourage you with this morning is you need to stretch, you need to develop your imagination. How often do you think about doing something that you've seen people in the Bible do? How often do you take the time to meditate on the Word of God till it shapes your imagination and you see yourself doing the things Jesus did? John 14, Jesus said, "Anyone who believes in me, the things I do, he will do also." Well, Pastor, I know that's in there, and I tried that one time, and it didn't work. Come on, guys. You think just because you read a scripture, all of a sudden Jesus waves a magic wand over you? You have to develop a spiritual life just like you have to develop a human life. For example, I know we have a bunch of Toyota, well, maybe not today because it's Toyota shut down, so a bunch of them probably gone, but there's no way that Derek would take me to his department at Toyota and say, "Here you go, man, fill in for me while I'm gone." I'd be let go the first day. I don't know what I'm doing. I have to be developed. You know, if I need brain surgery, I'm not going to my Toyota mechanic. Come on, guys. Why do we just assume that Christianity is some magic show and it's going to be different? It's not. You have to develop your spiritual life. And you can't do it watching TV. Yeah, but I watch Christian. No. Christian TV is a wonderful, listen very carefully. Christian TV is a wonderful supplement. Supplement. That's it. Real food, real development comes from that empowerment. It comes from the union, the relationship between you and Jesus. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. Watch this. According to his power at work in us. See, this is just one passage out of many, out of the book of Ephesians, that will change your life if you'll take the time to meditate on it. You see, if I could ever get Christians to move past the border of religion, it's a bunch of things you have to do. Well, I got to go to church. No, you don't. First of all, that's a wrong mentality. We are the church. We gather. And I know some people think, well, is it important to gather? Yes. This is where we encourage and pray and love on one another as a family. Not to mention the fact that it is biblical to gather together. The book of Acts repeatedly shows us that. When we come together, we encourage one another, we exhort one another, and then we send you out those doors to go be the church. You see, God is counting on each of us to become more like him. After all, that's how he made us. Y'all okay this morning? I mean, you're really quiet in here. Are you already in vacation mode? God's counting on us, on your job. He's not necessarily looking for you to take on a new career path. I believe that God anoints teachers, factory workers, nurses, doctors, politicians. They're throughout the Bible. See, God's not necessarily asking you to change your career path. What he's asking you to do is right in the middle of your career path, discover what he has for you as a born-again ambassador for the kingdom of heaven on this planet. Because there will be people that you will influence that I never will. They will connect with your style, your personality, way before they will mine. See, my job really is to shepherd those that walk through the door. Your job is to be fishers of men. But you have to understand that it's going to be through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in you. This is why the Apostle Paul repeatedly makes these kind of statements throughout his writings. He says stuff like this: stand fast in your faith. Be brave. Guys, you don't need to be brave on the beach. Make no mistake, I love the beach. And soon I'm going to be on the beach. And it takes no bravery. Now, it might take some bravery for some of you to get in the water. Especially if you've been stung by jellyfish several times. It's not cool. Stand fast in your faith. Just thinking here this morning, I just wonder how many of us, when Monday morning rolls around and we roll out to our job, whatever we might be doing, I can't help but wonder where God fits in that in that daily agenda. Yeah, but I mean, the people I work with, they don't know God. Are you for real right now? Why do you think you're there? Listen, not to correct them. Not to highlight every cuss word they drop while they're... Not to pray, Lord, I can't stand this guy, get me out. Be strong, be brave, stand fast in your faith. Listen to this, Ephesians 1, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. Let me stop right here for a second, leave that up on the screen so everybody watching can see it. Because I know a lot of people think, well, Steve, God's already chose us in advance. He makes everything work out. And I know people jump on, yeah, see, I told you God's in control of everything. Well, then why did the Apostle Paul say, I beseech you, I beg you, brothers, that you present your body a living sacrifice to God? Huh? That's why in this same book, in Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says, you and I, we put on the new man created in him. He's not just going to make you do it. Yes, an all-knowing God has chosen in advance. He has given us an inheritance in advance. He makes everything work out, but you still have to follow him. See, God wanted me to be a pastor long before I wanted to be one. He wanted me to be a pastor long before I even knew anything about Jesus. But I had to step into my path. See, so stop looking at what you're not. Stop thinking you have to qualify. Paul actually makes this statement. God told the Apostle Paul, my power is made perfect in your weakness. Huh? All we have to do is make ourselves available to Jesus. This is one of the things I love about the disciples. When you look at those guys that Jesus picked, quite frankly, I wouldn't have hired any of them. They didn't qualify. If you look at their resume, they didn't qualify. They're just regular old folks. Most of them blue collar people, just like you and me. And God said, I'm going to take something like you, and I'm going to change the world with you. Huh? What about us today? You think God will use this local church to change the world? Yeah? Now here's the thing. Watch this. When he takes us to the next level, are you going to be okay with that? Because what happens is, when those shifts come, we're not comfortable with... Go on, say it. Change. Now we like change if it's a new promotion with a $20,000 increase on it. We like that kind of change, you know. If it's a new vehicle, if it's a new shoe, we like that kind of change. But the kind of change that stretches your faith, that takes you out of what you're used to, huh? See, this is the thing. They were telling me that a couple weeks ago, Billy did his first team rally. Now, his wife, Annie is a beautiful speaker. She's anointed by God. Billy? He's still on the wheel, right? He's still a work in progress. Is Billy in here? I'm talking about, okay. But he was a little nervous, huh? Stepping out of his element. Huh? What about when God taps you on the shoulder and asks you to go, maybe not step up and do a team rally. Maybe God's just asking you to go across the break room tomorrow. The one that's struggling. See, God is looking for somebody that will just say, okay, Lord, I'll do it. So, you ready for this? From this day forward, if God tells us we can have, we can do, we can be, instead of asking our carnal human nature anything at all, on purpose, believe God. We reason everything away. God, you'll be spending time in the Word. Listen very carefully. You'll be spending time in the Word. All right? And then all of a sudden, something will drop in your thinking. And what's the next thing we do? Lord, is that you? And we begin to reason the things of God away. So the next time you're reading through the Word of God and a scripture jumps off the page and God says that you can have, you can do, you can be, instead of asking your human nature, instead of reasoning it away, just like, okay, that's for me, I'm doing that. See, one of the greatest things that the Old Testament does is it repeatedly shows us, it provides us inspiration for our faith journey today. The Apostle Paul actually says in his letter to the Corinthian church, these things in the Old Testament, they were written for our admonition. They were written to teach us, to inspire us, things to do and not to do. You know, you follow some of the folks through the Old Testament, you're like, man, you'd think by now you'd learn this. God, we're the same way. Let me show you a picture of this. In Numbers, we'll get to Gideon in just a second. I got to watch my time because sometimes I just get to talking. You know, well, I get to see y'all once a week. Sometimes a sermon just doesn't cut it. I just got to talk to you, right? The Holy Spirit knows what you need, huh? I know somebody that, well, none of that was for me. Oh, aren't you the water walker today? Yeah, wow. Yeah, okay. Right? Yeah. Numbers 13, watch this. Now, this is the story. Let me set this up. God speaks to Moses, and he says this. You pick 12 leaders. 12 leaders. Get your leadership team, Moses. And I want you to send them to spy out the land, listen carefully, that I have. Does this sound like Ephesians? He has given us. He says, I want you to go spy out this land. Pick 12 of your best leaders and send them to spy out the land I've given you. All right, so this is what's unfolding in Numbers 13 and in verse 23. And when they came to the valley of Ishkol, they cut down a branch with a single cluster of grapes so large it took two of them to carry it on a pole. Now, I don't know if you've bought grapes at Kroger lately or not, but I can pick them up like this. I want you to notice they cut one single branch, one cluster of grapes, and it took two men to carry it. They also brought back samples of the pomegranates and the figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes the Israelites cut down. And after exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses and Aaron and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. And they reported to the whole community what they had seen. And they showed them the fruit that they had taken from the land. Now, here's as I was thinking about this story, how it related to what we're talking about, because God has given us an inheritance. Why did they bring the fruit back? To show them. Can I take you a step further? To create a desire. Listen to me. Psalm 37 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desire of your heart. Mark 11, 24 says, whatsoever things you pray when you that you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you will. When do you get them? So until you know how to pray for that desire, don't just ask some empty-headed thing. Because when you pray, you believe you got it then. Yeah, but what if I don't see it? It has nothing to do with seeing. In John chapter 15, Jesus says this, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you may ask what you desire. Say desire, and it'll be given to you. See, here's my point in this. They brought this fruit back to create some vision, some desire in them. But the majority still turned the people away. 10 out of the 12 brought the wrong story back. He says, no, we can't do it. How many times does that voice pop up in your head? You can't do that. You can't do that. Huh? No. I am telling you, according to the immeasurable power that's in us, he can do more than we can ask or imagine. So from this day forward, when you're in the Word of God, this is why it's so important, you all, that you're in the Word of God. Not out of some legalistic religious obligation, but see, the Word of God is a book of vision, and you find yourself in the book when you're sitting there. Just if it's just 5 minutes, take 5 minutes. So from this day forward, when you're in the Word and you begin to see things, and God tells you, you can have, you can do, you can be, Instead of asking your human carnal nature anything, like, okay, God, thank you for that. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. I don't see how it's going to work, but thank you for that. See, one of my, finally we're getting to this, but one of my favorite characters in the Old Testament is Gideon. I love to follow this guy and watch how God, because Gideon's just a, actually he's less than just a regular guy. He is. I'm going to show you. He, out of his own mouth, he says this. But when you follow him, so let's go to, you know, for sake of time, let's go to Judges 6 and let's get into this. Now, what I want to do, I want to use the Message paraphrase here. All right? But beginning in verse 11, one day the angel of God came and sat down under the oak at Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, whose son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press out of the sight of the Midianites. Now, let me take a second here. The Midianites, because the children of Israel were disobedient. I know we read these Old Testament stories, and I've said it so many times. You would think by now they would learn. Don't you dare laugh, because we do the same dumb stuff over and over in our own lives. So praise God for the grace of Jesus. That's why the Apostle Paul says it is only by his grace that I stand here, because the thing I don't want to do, I do. And the thing I do, I don't want to do it. We don't live under the law anymore. So tread lightly when you read these Old Testament people, and you're like, man, how many times y'all going to rebel? You stiff-necked, hard-headed, rebellious, ungodly people. How many? Well, they kept doing it. That's why the whole thing about that shows us man could not do it. That's why Jesus had to come. And so Gideon is minding his own business, and an angel shows up. Now, if you haven't been following on our Wednesday night talk through Daniel, you see how frequent angels are readily available and used by God. And they're highlighted much more often in Old Testament stories because they didn't have the Holy Spirit inside them. God doesn't need to send you. Not that he won't send you an angel. I'm not saying that. God still uses angels today. But he doesn't necessarily in the new covenant use angels to speak to us because the Spirit of God lives inside us. You don't need an angel to come visit you because God will wake you up in the middle of the night and say, hey, what are you doing? Get up and go get in the Word for a second. I want to show you something. Well, why can't you just tell me? Why can't you just send me an angel? Because I want to grow you up. Now get your butt up and go get. But we don't like that, do we? We'd rather listen to a podcast. God's not that God can't speak to you in a podcast. I get insight and teachings, but revelation straight from the Holy Spirit, it does not come that way. It comes out of you spending time. That's why Jesus said, Martha. He actually said her name twice. Martha, Martha. You're so busy about all this stuff. Won't you calm down, woman? No, he didn't say that part, but that's what, like, just chill out. He said, Mary has chosen the good part. What was Mary doing? She was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him. See, some of you all, that's all you need to do is unhook from stuff for a minute. Develop the habit of that. So Gideon, minding his own business, the angel shows up. He's in this wine press because the Midianites have overtaken the Israelites' country, completely overridden them, these ungodly people, and they have wreaked havoc. The Bible says that they came through like swarms of locusts and destroyed everything. And so Gideon is hiding in a wine press, threshing some wheat so that they can make some bread with it. And the angel appeared to him and said, God is with you. Right? Mighty warrior. Hold up. Huh? Watch Gideon's reply. With me? With me? If God is with us, why is all this stuff happening? How many of y'all said that this week? God, if you're with me, why is all it? Now, I know some of the modern-day Pharisees of our world like to say God's judging our nation. That's not true. We have the most godly nation on the planet. When you go back to Sodom and Gomorrah, God said, he said, if you can find me 10, I'll spare it. Now, I believe if he'd have went down to 1, he'd have still done it. Because God is merciful. His mercy's new every day. But he couldn't find, We have the most godly influence on this planet. We sow more seed to the kingdom of heaven on this planet than all other nations combined. Make no mistake. You know what's going on in our nation? There's a real devil. And there are real people that haven't been taught the truth that yield to that stuff. That's what it is. And we as a church, you got to get this, rooted, listen very carefully, rooted, say rooted. Rooted and grounded in, oh, y'all know that one? Golly. I guess James is right. When you know but don't do, you deceive yourself. Yeah, I know. We're growing, right? So Gideon says, if God is with us, why is all this stuff happening? Where's all the miracles and all the wonders that our parents and grandparents told us about? Where are they at? Fact is, God has done nothing with us, and he's turned us over to the Midians. He actually didn't turn them over. He just took his hand off, and they come in and took it. Because they completely rebelled against God. Now watch this closely. Because now the angel is talking, but in this passage, but God faced him directly. Now listen, I want you to get a truth here. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen who? The Father. If I send you in my name, Jesus said, you're in my name. If they hear you, they hear me. So this angel is the representative of God looking face to face. Because the Bible says that no man has seen God face to face and lived in his person. Are you with me? What you need to understand in the New Testament interpretation of this is today, when you show up and speak the word of God over a situation, it comes with the same authority and same power as this angel speaking to this young man, Gideon, hiding in a wine press. But if you don't have that revelation, if you don't understand, if you don't know that, he says, go in this strength that is yours. Hold up. Huh? He says, save Israel. Haven't I sent you? Now, what does this sound like? Just like I have sent you to go spy out the land that I have given you. Remember in Numbers? Remember over in Ephesians? God has given us exceedingly great and precious promises. He has given us this inheritance. Has given. Go in the strength that is in you. Save Israel, Gideon said. How and with what can I save Israel? Look at me. Look at me. My clan is the weakest in the town, and I'm the runt of the litter. God, I am from a nobody town, and I'm the nobody that's in the nobody town. God said, I'll be with you. Watch these next two words. Believe me. Believe me. Believe me. You see, like Gideon, every one of us in this room today, we have to accept what God tells us. We have to believe what God tells us. Are you ready for this? And we have to act on what God tells us. Check this out. Yesterday, I had a wedding yesterday. You all know Tammy and Patrick. Yeah, they got married yesterday. But unfortunately, of course, Patrick had a procedure a while back. We had a stent put in, and he had some complications with the stent. And so he has to leave and go to the hospital. But he's supposed to get married. And so we're all at the church together, you know. Tammy's all tore up, worried about, you know, Patrick. And once they get him stable and find out what the problem is, you know, they have to transfer him to do the procedure. They have to transfer him to UK. So you'd love this one, Andy. So I'm doing a wedding FaceTime live. I got the groom right here on the phone. I got the bride right here, the wedding party. We did the whole spiel, man. Yeah. But the reason I bring it up is because right in the middle of the wedding, he's in an ambulance on the way to UK while we're doing a wedding, and the nurse is holding his phone. In an ambulance. And so I stop in the middle of the wedding, I stop and I pray over his body in the middle of the wedding. Huh? Guys, we have to know who we are as people of God. And you have to be willing in the middle of a wedding, if the Lord says pray for him, to not call a prayer chain, not put him on a list. Pray for him. Come on. See, we are people of God. See, some of you all, you have never gave a prophetic word to a coworker or a family member. Now, when I say prophetic word, I don't mean your corrective religious idea of something. That's not what prophecy is. Go to Corinthians. It'll tell you exactly what it is. It's for exhortation, edification, comfort. Exhortation, edification, comfort. So if you don't have that, zip the lip. You with me? Like Gideon. Like me, like many of you. When God tells you something, when he shows you something, believe him. Step out on it. He's looking for those today who are willing to be empowered by him, to be an expression of him, an extension of him. By faith, go in the strength that he's giving you. Seriously, you all be open to this today. Stop just kind of hovering around in your comfortable Christian world. Well, all my stuff's, I'm good. I got a good life. I got a good career. Got a good home. Bills are paid. Okay, yay. You know anybody that doesn't have that? You know, can you think of anybody that needs some saving? Huh? You know, sometimes just being a blessing to somebody, man. I've heard stories of people that will be out and they'll just, and the Lord will just drop it on them, hey, buy their groceries. You'll be in a checkout line. You won't even know them. And I've heard many of you all share testimonies of this. And yeah, it can be weird and awkward. You know, usually my line is when I practice this, this might seem a little weird. You may not understand this, but I believe in Jesus, and this is what he's leading me to do. You okay with this? Now, if they say no, don't try to be like Elijah and call fire down. Just say, oh, okay, I just, and be on your way about it. Remember what God told the Apostle Paul? My power. It's made perfect in your weakness. Stop trying to be all that. Yeah, well, I don't know enough about the Bible. Well, nobody in this room knows enough about the Bible. Don't let them fool you. You'll never get there. The Bible is a continuous unfolding, a continuous revelation. And it's progressive. And the more time you spend in it, the more you see. And the more time you spend in it, God did it that way on purpose. It is not a book of information. It's not. It's a book of revelation. See, Ephesians 1 makes it very clear that the church is his body on the planet, and we are made full and complete in him who fills all things everywhere in himself. This is why we need to walk in the power of Christ, be united in him, be empowered with our union with him. Paul told the young man Timothy, he said, son, be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus. The Apostle John says, you are strong. Because the word of God abides in you. Now here's what if the word of God doesn't abide in you? Then I don't know that you're strong. I didn't say you weren't born again. You all heard me say this many times. I'm going to get you out of here with this. But there are going to literally be millions running around in heaven with their Pampers on. We're going to get just enough of a revelation to get to heaven. But God wants us to be his body right now. Bold about it. Well, what if, Pastor, what if I pray for somebody and nothing happens? Next. Thank you, Jack. Next. Sometimes it won't, but that doesn't mean you quit. Huh? He said, do it. Do it. It's not, stop being so arrogant. It's not like you're going to make the power anyway, man. Are you for real? Huh? Here's the thing. God's not empowering anybody to stay tucked away in your wine press minding your own business, doing your own thing. Maybe some of you are here like Gideon today, and you're just looking at all the situations and circumstances, and you're questioning, yeah, well, God, if you're here, why is all this stuff going on? Why do you think God needs people to be strong, mighty warriors? Huh? See, I believe God sees a bunch of us differently than we see ourselves right now. So from this day forward, I want you to take this home with you today. From this day forward, if God tells us we can have, huh? We can do. We can be, instead of asking our carnal human nature anything about it, on purpose, say on purpose, believe him. Let him empower you to step out in faith. Amen? Now, that being said, the first step of faith any person has to take to have access to this life of God is you have to believe in Jesus. I'm not talking about church membership. I'm not talking about have your name on some roll somewhere. I'm talking about you just accepting the fact that a real person, many of you watching, this is your time, a real person died a real death, got up out of a real grave, lives in heaven today. His name is Jesus. For one reason, that all we would have to do is believe that and confess it out of our mouth. You don't have to know everything about it. You just have to believe it. So we've made it very simple for you here. Ask Jesus to come into your life today. Let's say this very simple prayer. All of us together in the room, say it. Those of you watching, take just a moment. Say this with us. Lord Jesus, come into my life and make me new. And from this day forward, Jesus is my Lord. Heaven is my home. And I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you said the prayer, if you're in the room, stop by our information desk. We want to help you with that. If you're watching, tell a friend, tell somebody, call us, let us know. We would love to help you take your next steps in your journey of faith. Now, for all of you that brought your giving today, we want to thank you for supporting the ministry, allowing us to continue to do all the things that we normally do, all of our outreaches, etc. We're continuing to move forward at a full speed with all of those things. Those of you that give online, thank you very much for what you do. But if you're in the room and you brought your offering, on your way out, the ushers can show you where those give boxes are. Just take an envelope, drop that in the offering plate on your in the give box on your way out. Let me pray over you. Pray over our offerings, over our tithe today. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we thank you for wonderful, faithful givers that help to advance the kingdom of heaven. And so today, Father, I thank you that Your blessing, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, is running over on all of those that sow and give and return the tithe into the kingdom of heaven. Lord, for us as a local church, we thank you that our financial economic situation is based in heaven, not on this earth. All of our needs are met. We have an abundance to do everything that you've called us to do. In your precious name, Jesus, amen. Now, you guys, this week, you have this wonderful opportunity to step into the power of the Holy Spirit, to be empowered and led by Him to make a difference in someone's life. So be bold, you mighty warriors. Watch what God will do with you. We love you guys. Have an awesome time this week. Those of you that are on shutdown.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to click on the subscribe button. For more information on Victory Life Church, check us out at victorylifeky.com. Thank you so much for listening.